this next question is the one that comes off of Facebook. Natalia, thank you so much for your last two videos. I found them to be eye-opening and extremely thought-provoking. I thought I might share a situation I'm currently facing to continue this conversation on morality. Just a warning, it is really personal. Okay, but I got her permission. She said we could talk about it on this audio, so here we go. A few years ago, I left a terrible corporate job to pursue my own business that I believed would help the health and well-being of people and the environment. But this business has not made any money, and I am in more and more debt each month. This financial situation keeps me in a constant state of worry, stress, and shame, not to mention completely draining my primal power. Even Omram speaks of the importance of getting oneself out of debt, so I have been actively looking for ways to do this. Recently, I was given the opportunity to participate in a real estate investment. This opportunity would get me out of debt as well as help with my monthly expenses, which feels like such a relief. But then I also see that the real estate project contributes to the death and destruction of an entire ecosystem of plants and animals. So that does not feel so good. I thought about contributing some of the money to an environmental charity, but then that seems almost like a big pharma company contributing money to cancer research, which is just ridiculous. I take full responsibility for my financial situation and will gladly pay off my debts, but everything I come up with has life-deteriorating consequences, like the example I give above. Thanks to your video on economic currency, I understand that really anything involving money will have a life-deteriorating consequence because that's just its nature. So what is it being seeking light and primal power to do? I keep thinking about your words, when my oppressor gives me two choices, I take the third. That's kind of what this feels like, but I'm really struggling to rise up to that eagle's perspective to see the third choice. This post feels like some sort of Dear Abby column, haha. Anyway, any light you or anyone else in the group could shed on the situation would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for that question, and you were met with some great responses from the community, which, you know, is always the case when anyone reaches out, which is such a wonderful just expression of the united front and support you all give each other. So it is really cool. So some really good thoughts were exchanged there. And the few things that I would contribute, and it seems to me that, you know, I'll also say that I think you have drawn your own conclusions and you've done a really good job of doing so, and sometimes just articulating what's on our mind and kind of making, you know, putting forth the dilemma in some way, shape, or form helps us to see what our own conclusion is, because it's usually there. But, you know, one thing we always have is this amazing power of choice. And we can choose to be ourselves, do what we would do, or we can choose to do what, you know, what others might do, or what others might wish we would do, or there's so many different ways to go. Or you can just do everything from this super sovereign, authoritative place of self. And, you know, when I say that self, this is also where the ego is so valuable. Because, you know, the ego gets a bad rap a lot because we think of it as like, oh, someone's really egotistical, or there's really, it usually connotes kind of a selfishness. But the ego in its highest form is just that individuated self. It's that self that sees that while it's part of a unified field, it's also in its own little unit, completely sovereign. And that's a really, if your individuated self is sovereign, then you have a healthy ego. And you have this place where you can just say, okay, I'm going to do things the way I know to do them, the right way for me. I'm not going to start belting out my way. my mom's worst song, she says, no, it can't be my way, it must be God's way. So that song has a funny connotation to me. But your ability to choose to do what is your highest expression, what is actually you, what it is the most you thing to do, and that you thing to do is full of your own primal power, because it's an act of self-affirmation. What's the opposite of self-affirmation? It's self-abandonment. And this term self-abandonment has been, I've been noticing it's getting used a lot everywhere. It's one of these new sort of hot button terms. And really all it means is, it's so simple. You actually are abandoning yourself. You're just denying what is authentically true for you, and you're, or what is actually authentically good for you, and you're choosing something else, and that is an act of self-destruction. It's an act, a full act of giving away that primal power. It's depletion. It's basically taking your bucket of beautiful life-generating water and just pouring it out on the concrete. Okay, so that's what it means to abandon the self. And so to make your own choices to be self-affirming is also to be life-affirming. And in its highest sense, income, currency should be life-affirming. It should be life-affirming for us and life-affirming for the world. And this comes back to the question of, you know, doing things that aren't in alignment with the greater good and how they'll affect us. And they will on so many levels. And there are so many ways to unpack this. But a few things I want to look at. Let me just add one other anecdote. I feel like I've just been pouring out anecdotes out at you, but you specifically, but you all. When I was in the thick of my career, it still happens now and then, but I would say especially in the about 5 years ago, I got so many companies coming to me, health startups and supplement companies coming to me wanting to do to endorse their product or to try and put a line together, mostly to do with something that they really believed was going to be a hot commodity, be it some kind of, a lot of the chia products, the maca powders, the noni berries, so many products, even with juices that I wasn't in alignment with in terms of how they were being produced, supplement companies with their various vitamin mineral, the things that I just did, they didn't resonate for me, and they wouldn't have reflected anything that I believed in. I would have had to somehow pretzel into, it wouldn't align. I could not have made it make any sense, and it would have compromised my reputation. It would have compromised my integrity, and it would have made a lot of money, maybe. There was big money promise, let's put it that way. We never know how these things are going to wind up in the end, but there was certainly a monetary incentive attached to it. But there was such an obvious, there's just almost like a visceral recoiling. No, just take that away. I'm not going to do that. Don't even waste my time with the email and the phone call, because that's so not up my alley. And I think it was just because I had such a strong sense of self. And that ego, and again, in the positive context of, I know what I'm going to do. I know what choices I'm going to make in pretty much any given scenario that comes up. And that's where this, when you really get very confident with your sense of morality, doesn't mean that everything's going to be an easy choice, but it means that most things will be. The obvious things will be, and even you get into subtler and subtler territory, and you become much more adept in that subtle territory. And then you look back and you think, that wasn't actually so subtle. It was actually pretty clear. It was pretty black and white. But at the time, it seemed like, it was more of a moral dilemma than it would be to me now, when it's so clear. So, but these things all, there's so many temptations. They come to us and they're like, don't you want some of this over here in this? But no, I don't. It's the same way that, that you're not going to go and strip for money, and you're not going to, go into prostitution. They're all various forms of prostitution, basically. If you're having to compromise your integrity, if you're having to open yourself up to something seedy, it's kind of literally what prostitution is. It's like opening your body up to somebody's seed. So it's opening yourself up to something seedy. We don't want to do that. At any level, it's prostitution. And it compromises us. It leaves us with some seedy gunk. And it's not going to fill our reserve. It's not going to contribute currency. It's not going to be income, ultimately. Anyway, there's so many ways to unpack this, as I was saying, and those experiences just make you clearer and clearer, because the more you say no to them, in the same way, the more you say no to other things that come up that can be tempting, the easier it becomes. So, you know, you could be in a relationship with someone and you're in your first serious relationship and suddenly something tempting comes up and it could be hard at first, but then you say no and you overcome that and it becomes easier to say no the next time. It becomes like, well, I've said no all these other times. Why am I going to say no? And why am I going to say yes to you? You know, same thing with what we consume. We overcome the inclination that we might have had to have the various non-human foods, and it may be hard at first, but we do it and we overcome it, and then the next time it comes around, we're like, oh, okay, I've been here, I've done this, this is easy, okay, well, I don't do that, I don't eat that, that's not part of my, I'm a, you know, and so eventually it's like, no, I said no all these other times, why am I going to say, suddenly start saying yes? So you get in the habit of saying no to these things, you identify them as being seedy and not for you and not in your space, maybe for somebody else who's not where you are, but not for you. And then you just keep on going forward. It's funny, you know, I'm having to take breaks in making this audio because it's so long, but it's just a little while ago, I saw something, it was a posting about something that was selling something, and it was so off-putting that I just went right past it. But then I realized how ironic it was, because if I find it again, actually, let me see if I can find it again while I'm doing this. It was all about how money is not bad, and I had to laugh. Wait, maybe it'll come up. And I thought that's so funny that we were just talking about this, and they're adamant in this. Looks like an ad, maybe gone now, but that money is actually fine and it's not bad, and it's all about becoming empowered around, and how women always perceive money to be a negative thing. No, sorry, it's gone. But this course that they're pitching is going to show you just how you can learn how to master money, and you know, so it's preying on that new age thinking, hoping that people will see, oh wait, it's not bad, it's actually really good and positive. And so if you're innocent, naive, maybe the better word, to how things work, how living systems work at their core, you're always going to be susceptible to these voices. Oh no, money's okay, it's just energy. Oh no, money's actually evil. It's not. Someone could say something, and then you could find a way to make it. You can find a way to make whatever they're saying make sense, because they're pitching it well, because they're touching something in you. You're open to it. It's not to say we shouldn't be open. Yes, we should be open. We should have open minds, and you know, we're not going to be able to be very receptive to the great thoughts when they come in if we're not open. But the discernment. This is where you become very powerful. Your discernment comes from being able to go all the way back to the core of what something is. So whether it's saying, is this human food? Well, I can go back to the core of what I know about what's human food and how it's unraveled over time and how it's become something else. Its trajectory has gone, you know, since we went from wild to farming. You can figure all that out. You can answer any question you have. Same thing with this around money. You know, it's not about whether somebody tells you it's actually just energy and it's fine and you can learn to master it, or that it's innately evil. You can follow it back, you can trace it back and see. So, I mean, I just got a little sideline from that because I thought it was very unusual timing. I wanted to maybe it prompted me basically to remind everyone that there are always going to be these voices out there that are gonna say conflicting things. And it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what they say. It matters that you know how to get to the bottom of something despite what anybody says, because you can trace things back to the universal law. What's the original cause of this? Where does this stem from? Whether it's money or an idea or anything at all, you take it back to, where does it stem from? What's the motivation? How did it become a part of our culture? What is its original place? The before, the cause of the cause. We always, whether we're looking at something in the body or we're looking at something in our culture or we're trying to make a decision, especially, you know, when we look at decisions, there is always cause and effect. So we can determine what the effect, we can actually be like soothsayers, because we can determine the effect if we know the cause, because the effect is going to reflect the cause and vice versa. So, you know, and then that's why there's really no good outcome in being tempted to engage with something that is not going to be life generating for all. So, and the other thing to think about is that you have to walk into the field that is that space. So your energy has to move through that space. If you take on a project or you take on an investment that is in a certain kind of field of energy, it has a certain kind of imprint upon it, you're going to have to move your field through that field. Often, you know, my husband is an entrepreneur, and he always has these amazing ideas, and he's always working with fascinating people and has opportunities that come up, and you know, and so we'll talk about them. We spend a lot of our time together talking about ideas and projects, and we're both idea people and love to, we live a lot in the intellect, and so often when we talk about what will this mean to him, I remind him, this means you're going to have to move through this energy field. You're going to have to work through this kind of, with these kinds of people in this field. Do you really want to be doing that? And you know, sometimes yes, sometimes it's fine, it's great. Other times, like, actually no, I really don't. I don't want to be in that field. I don't want to be, when I really think about what that means, even though he might be really good at it, even though it could be hugely successful, profitable on multiple levels, even if it's a totally benevolent kind of a project, if it's not the kind of energy that he wants to be in, then he shouldn't take it on. Doesn't matter how good you're going to be at something. Doesn't matter how successful it's going to be. You're going to be sharing your energetic field with it. Do you want to be doing that? And, you know, we can be good at a lot of things, but we have to choose to do the things with our time and energy that are going to inspire us, enhance our field, enable us to be more expansive, not contract, because then there's going to be an energetic drain, and there's going to be a price to be paid in that. But, you know, in the end, it's also such a reminder of the fact that people are beaten down by the monetary society, and they're squeezed, and then they're being, you know, put in positions that they wouldn't like to have to choose certain things, and have to put things that are of value aside for things that, you know, they feel they have to collude with in order to just get by. It makes people feel they have to fold, and that's why it is so evil. But it doesn't mean that we can't transcend things, and that our energetic field can't have a beneficial impact on the money and on the currency we use in this culture. We can always elevate things, and that's really what the alchemy is in it all. So we can take something that is a cultural handicap, a cultural cancer, let's say, and by working with it and having our impact on the culture and on that currency, we can help it reach a higher state of being. The ultimate source of it may be rotten, but we can take that which is rotten and we can alchemize it. We can make it something better. We can make it more beautiful because we have worked it through ourselves, because we are this golden energy that everything is improved by being exposed to, by being connected with. So in a way, you know, as long as it doesn't take away from us as it moves through us, as long as we can become powerful enough that we're not going to be weakened by it. And that's the state that we have to get to. That's why we have to keep working on our power. We have to become more and more powerful. If you've read any of the Anastasia series, you'll know that one of the things that Anastasia does, you know, when she's in, if you haven't read these books, they're not going to make any sense to you. What I'm about to say is not going to make any sense. But she lives in Siberia. She's this magical creature, basically. She's a human woman who is just truly filled with primal power. And she will take the negativity and she'll put it through herself. She'll run it through herself, and she will bring it to a state of glowy golden orb energy. So it's something that can be done when you are as powerful as that, and we all can become that. That's where we're going. But for now, we don't want to take on a whole lot of negative energy, because we're not equipped necessarily to do that kind of a transformation. with such a huge amount of negative energy, but we can, what it means is that we can work in a world that has a lot of proverbial cancers growing and have in our because of our benevolent force field, because of the way we can, the thoughts we project, the love energy we contain and project, we can make things better by being in this world. And you know, obviously the more people who can do that, the better, and the more we can neutralize things. But we have to become strong ourselves first, and being strong ourselves first means not giving into temptations like that that would derail and undermine us. So it's a hard choice. There's always going to be hard choices, but the beauty is that you are in a position where it is your choice, and because of that, there's going to be synchronicities that come up that the universe recognizes. These things, good things happen when you make good choices. And only time when people struggle, they say, well, I do my best, but then it's still hard. And I don't know why it's still hard and why are things still not going my way. And the best explanation I have for that, and Omram had some great ones. Remember when we read through the Cosmic and Moral Law? That was excellent, excellent, excellent. I would revisit Cosmic and Moral Law to remind yourself of the timing and how the universe sometimes, how the results, effects that sometimes come at different times based on how long it takes us, how time needs to help shape us and help us integrate experiences so we can in fact grow. And if things happen too quickly, if results happen too quickly, it could be. But you remember this from the last lesson. But anyway, the other thing that I want to get to that's very important is that often the reason things that we might call negative keep on occurring is because we're carrying, and this is really, really important, you might want to even write this down, we're carrying the resonant frequency of it in ourselves. So, for example, just because this particular example of this conundrum, this dilemma, is this incident with this financial decision, but it doesn't have to be that. It could be anything that comes up that has that kind of resonant frequency. The resonant frequency that is about self-abandonment, that is about supporting negative forces in the world, that is about anything that kind of an initiative would carry in its field. So it might not be that comes up again. It might be something totally different, but that has those same qualities that would be that would have a negative impact on the world and all these things. So if we'll keep calling things into our field that we have a resonant frequency with. And that, while on the one hand, there's that like attracts like, and you know this, you know that, you know, the idea of the law of attraction. I've never been that comfortable with the way the law of attraction has been taught. I think it's very confusing. And it may seem like what I'm saying is confusing right now, but just hang on, I'm going to try and do a better job of explaining it. The way to think about the law of attraction, the way I believe it works, let me put it this to you this way, and I'm very confident that this is the way it works because this is the way it shows up in everybody's life I've had the opportunity to help untangle, and or they people have brought me their scenarios. If they're carrying a resonant frequency of something, it can express in any way, they will bring it into their lives. The moment they stop resonating with that frequency, the moment they don't allow their system to support that idea that is resonant with that frequency, they will no longer call those things into their lives. And this is why you never want to end an important relationship like a marriage or remarry or get into a serious relationship with another in a romantic way, in a business partnership, on any level, until you've cleared those resonant frequencies. Because if you do so, if you're in a marriage and you don't dissolve those resonant frequencies before you get divorced, you may well not have needed to get divorced. You may have gotten divorced for no good reason. Because you simply didn't do the very, very simple, not simple, but yeah, simple, but difficult bit of work. And if you then are, you know, wind up attracting somebody else, you're going to wind up attracting the same resonant frequency. So you're going to wind up with the same person again, just in a different body, the same energy field, let's say, just in a different body, or the same qualities in a different body, in a different person, in a different scenario, same, you know what, different day, okay, basically. But if you can recognize what are those resonant frequencies, and this, I want to go back to this initial question, because this is a challenging thing to look at, and I may stand corrected, but let's look at it anyway. This health venture, venturing out on her own and undertaking whatever it was, I didn't get the details about it, but whatever it was that this undertaking was about, this entrepreneurial undertaking was about, I suspect that it may have had some, it may have been put together with resonant frequency that carried things that had, that didn't have success with them in total. The whole projection of the project, the whole embodiment of the energy around this project may not have been without undermining energies. Okay, I'm trying to be as clear as I can, even though I think this may be hard to understand. Let me try and put it to you differently. If you put together a project and there are hints of, which are like frequency, in the energy field of the person putting it together that are not all about success, if there are things that could otherwise undermine it, and there are in all of us whenever we do things until we're totally healed of these frequencies, which means we have to look at them, feel them, see them, and be clear with ourselves that we don't want to move forward with them anymore, that we free ourselves of them, basically, we'll carry this in its wake, so, or in its development, and in its ultimately in its fruits. So it's quite possible that, and probable, I would say, that these two projects are not that different energetically to each other, even though the motivation and what would have inspired them seems to be quite different. On the one hand, there's this creation of a health practice that would seem to come from a really good place. And then there's this real estate venture that seems to not come from a good place at all. And you think, well, this seems so completely divergent, distinctly divergent. But in effect, if the individual, and this could be anybody, this is not necessarily this individual, this is pretty much most people, okay? Because everyone's carrying resonant frequencies of unhelpful properties, unhelpful qualities, until they've completely healed themselves. So the degree to which they have these unhelpful qualities then is the degree to which they're going to infuse their life with them and thereby attract more like it. But if you enter into something, you still have that, you're going to carry that through. And if that thing doesn't work, so in this case, that thing didn't come to, the fruits weren't what the individual had hoped they would be, this other thing comes along and it has the same resonant frequencies that are unhelpful qualities, but it's in a different shape and form. And it seems to be a completely different enterprise, but the makeup, the qualities are negative, use the term loosely, but are unfavorable, unsupportive to this individual, are the same in both, and they're present in both. So if the individual can recognize what those are, what they look like, and see where they may have originated in themselves, do that recapitulation work, and then identify what they are, say their betrayal on some level, you know, this is the real estate deal is betrayal to the planet and the ecosystem. Where could there have been some sort of betrayal in the construction, in the sort of the coming to be of the health enterprise? Where could there have been negative chords, things that would be unhelpful, that weren't seen, maybe didn't want to be seen, but were there? A lot of times we enter into things, we just don't want to look at what's really happening because we want to see only the good in something or only what's the fruitful potential. We wind up overlooking the other. So just think about that a little bit. All of us can think about that because, again, there's always healing to be done and there's always these layers to continue to untangle. But that's something that is really important, that's going to it's kind of like a haunting. It will haunt anything you do if you don't deal with it. And it simplifies the law of attraction a lot because it means that we're able to start to see things that are there but most people don't see because they're frequencies that resonate with something in us, and so they're going to attract things to us because they resonate with us, and or we resonate with them, so we're attracted to them, and we don't really understand why. We're getting into so much trouble all the time, or things are coming into our lives that aren't working. There's something that's there that's about something deep in us that we haven't healed. So anyway, as complicated as that may sound, hopefully it makes some sense and can be helpful. But it's a lot of witnessing. It's a lot of paying attention in our life. It's a lot of really looking closely at what our motivations are, what we're carrying with us. We have to be willing to explore and see. And often it takes somebody actually pointing it out to us and saying, you know, because we can't always see it for ourselves. We can't always see these resonant frequencies that are in our fields, and we wouldn't believe they were there unless someone we really trusted told us in a state when we were in an open-minded, open-hearted state to receive it and not feel fearful about seeing it. So, all right, that's that on that.